Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know this song, Ted? Yeah?
Love this song.
Let's sing along, shall we? I don't know if you got the words there. Did I miss it already?
It's still the intro, maybe.
Wait.
Gotta wait for it.
Wait.
Easy lover.
That's all I know.
Gotta hold on, you believe it. She's like no other. Before you know it, you'll be on your knees.
See, I don't even need the bouncy ball, I know.
Easy lover. She'll take your heart, but you won't feel it.
Same.
She'll take your heart, but you won't feel it.
She's like no other. Before you know it,
you'll be on
your knees. She's the kind of girl you dream of.
Something like that.
Yep, there you go.
I'm right around
close
it. Easy lover.
Good, man.
Every Thursday at noon?
Every Thursday at noon?
Yep. Thumbs up in the back.
That was
Ted gets the gold star there, not me. I don't know enough.
That was the first theme song for the first ever WrestleMania. You know that? Easy lover.
I can definitively say I did not know that.
There you go.
I love you
like
in your wrestling fandom, man.
No question that I didn't know that.
Yeah,
by the way, I mentioned XFL ratings were good for week two, not as good as week one.
That's telling.
But they were the Saturday games were the two most watched games in the afternoons on Saturday on television. And for cable comparisons, FS1, their matchup rated higher than the most recent NBA Friday Night doubleheader on ESPN.
Okay. There you go, man.
It also outdrew, and Sarge, you're going to have to explain what this means, AEW's Dynamite.
Yeah, that's a Wednesday night show on
which
TNT.
Similarly launched this year, debuted to 1.4 million viewers, which is exactly what they got on Saturday. So even when the ratings were down, they dipped on Saturday.
Yeah.
But they were still, I would say, good ratings for the XFL. They don't seem like they're tanking like the AAF. Or the XFL, you know, the first time.
Right, yeah.
This is a huge venture. I mean, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of reputations at stake. Mm-hmm. It was a failed league before. I just don't think Vince McMahon is going to go into it again the second time around and not really. I mean, this thing's going to not fold like the other league did. It was AAF.
The AAF.
You didn't even get to the final
Correct.
Game. So
nope.
I think there's just enough money with it behind it with Vince McMahon's resources that this thing's going to be seen all the way through. And I like that. Let's just see 1 year what it all looks like, and then we'll make a final conclusion. And I think it's a great opportunity for guys to at least show what they can do.
Oh, guys will get jobs out of it.
Guys will get jobs.
Guys
out
got jobs out of the AAF. Not a ton of them, but guys will get jobs out of this for
like
sure.
That.
Patriots have quite a few jobs open, Ted, and they got to figure out how to surround Tom Brady. They got to pay Tom Brady and surround Tom Brady. That's going to be a tough trick, even with their new accounting little loopholes back on the table. We read you that Greg Bedard report earlier. We can do more of that under this new CBA that could be signed before the league year begins on March 18th. 17 games, 7 playoff teams. We've been talking about that all day. Patriots need to surround Tom Brady. That's one of the things that you're reading about that he needs. There's a lot of names floating around out there on the Patriots. And, you know, not just quarterbacks that we've been through. How do you feel about Stephon Diggs? How do you feel about Amari Cooper, Emmanuel Sanders, Hunter Henry? And I can get to some of the specifics on how the Patriots would do this coming up, but how do you feel about those names off the top? Is there anybody who jumps out that makes sense for the Patriots or makes sense to play with Tom Brady?
I'm a big fan of Hunter Henry. I think he's been in the league. I mean, most people know the other names better, but He's been in the league, I think, 3 years. He's, you know, he's a guy that's good for, you know, probably 40-plus catches, you know, a few four to, you know, six touchdowns. You know, this team was so devoid of any real tight end. And no offense, Ben Watson, I love you, buddy. But, you know, it's just you can see how important the tight end position is becoming if you just watch the Super Bowl. Two of the best tight ends that were key parts of what their offense is doing. And it's always been a key part of what this offense is doing, particularly the two phases of this offense that you really like is that's kind of been a staple is that slot game and the tight end position. So to me, Hunter Henry would be huge to get. I like Amari Cooper because he's a free agent as opposed to Stephon Diggs, who is
having to give up assets.
Yep. I just, you know, I don't want to give up assets to get Stephon Diggs. As much as I like him as a player, I would rather you just be able to sign Amari Cooper outright.
Well, and the Patriots don't have a second-round pick, right? So, I mean, if you're going to get Diggs, it's probably a first-round pick. And that, yep. I like Stephon Diggs, but that does feel like a premium on him. Let's rewind to the two names that we were just discussing, though, including Hunter Henry. So, Pro Football Focus, they came out with their top 50 free agents and not only ranked them in order, but they also had contracts and destinations for where they could all wind up, right? So, for instance, the number one free agent, Drew Brees, not Tom Brady. The number two free agent, also a quarterback, also not Tom Brady, Dak Prescott. Number three free agent would be Tom Brady on a two-year, $30 million per year contract, $60 million guaranteed. Okay, so fully guaranteed contract, which you were talking about. But okay, Brady's the less newsy part. You know, you imagine if you're going to surround Brady, Brady has to be here. So they have as the number 15 free agent, Hunter Henry, a one-year, 9.5 fully guaranteed deal, which I think is below... It is below the franchise tag, right? For tight ends. We were talking about this yesterday. I think the franchise tag is 11 and change for a tight end. I don't know why the Chargers would let him get away when they could franchise him. Maybe they don't think he's worth $11 million. He's had injury history for sure.
Yeah, he gets hurt a lot.
But between Henry and Hooper, I don't know that either of them get away from their teams, given they can both be franchised. But they have him on a one-year deal, and then they have Manny Sanders on a three-year, $10 million deal. $10 million per. And $23 million guaranteed.
When you say they have him on a one-year deal, I mean, that's the projected kind of...
That's their projection.
What they're projecting him to get is a one-year deal, maybe because of the injury history?
That's my guess. Ready? The first domino of Brady coming back, blah, blah, blah. Hunter Henry, in his first 2 years in the NFL, 16 and 17, he produced a two-year receiving grade that trailed only Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. However, he missed 2018 weeks 2 through 5. Missed 2018 and then weeks 2 through 5 of last year due to injury. And Henry came in and finished the remainder of the year with a 13th in receiving grade. He isn't Gronk, but he can line up all over the place. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of a make good, prove it deal. It's not quite the franchise tag. It's under that number, but you can do something similar. You come here, you play with Brady, you recoup your value.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe not to get off topic, but I think part of maybe what Hunter Henry is would want to know before I would sign here is, and that's the tricky part of this whole thing, right, is how do you convince Tom to come back, you know, and say, hey, we're surrounding you with more talent. You know, the timing isn't going to work out great. You know, the Patriots roster doesn't get filled out more times than not until, like, where you start seeing them making bold moves is 3, 4, 5 days after free agency period. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, those would be day one or day two guys.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So I just don't know. And how that timing is going to work out. Say, hey, Tom, look what we were surrounded you with, guys. 10 days, 15, 20 days into free agency. By that point, I think Tom's already going to make up his mind. But I do love the idea of a good tight end in this offense. You see how that, I think that position in particular, Adam, has evolved over the years. It's more important now than it's ever been.
Manny Sanders, by the way, I just think would look bad for them. They could have had him last year. They could have had him for cheap. Now you're giving up a second-round pick for Sanu. He doesn't work out. Maybe you have to cut him just to sign Manny Sanders, who you could have had for less. And I know you're getting him for more term. I think that would look bad. By the way, other Patriots free agents in this Pro Football Focus piece, Devin McCourty, they have projected going to the Giants for 2 years, $10 million per. They have Joe Tooney projected to go to the Dolphins, another guy in the division. Yeah. 5 years, $13.5 million per.
Oof.
A lot for a guard.
Wow.
And then their number 50 Joe's free agent, though. Jamie Collins Sr., on a two-year, $7.5 million per. He would end up going, back to the Patriots. So he would be retained by the Patriots. So that's another one they'd be bringing back. So we'll get to all your thoughts on that. 617-779-0985. We can delve in further on the free agent, Amari Cooper, and a potential trade target, Stephon Diggs. Jeff Howe says don't rule out either name. We'll get to that next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
10 seconds to go. 24-23 Saints. Vikings at their own 39. It's third down. Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay on.
Oh, my God.
Loose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, 30.
No.
10.
Touchdown. Are you kidding
what
me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Stephon Diggs. And the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard.
Fred Toucher's favorite band, by the way, Incubus here at Ted Johnson.
Big fan of Incubus.
I like Incubus. I think Fred, less so. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson with you until 2. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We are in for Zoe and Beetle here today. We'll get back into the news out of the NFL. Sounds like. We're going to be getting 17 games and 7 playoff teams in each conference. Wow. We ticked through a lot of this earlier. You know, our overall feelings on it, what it means for football fans, and what it means for here, what it means for Tom Brady, what it means for Bill Belichick, what it means for the Patriots, because there is a lot at stake for all three of those individuals, or, you know, two individuals and the team. So we'll get back to that. 617-779-0985. We have taken a bit of a detour here into some more roster-specific things, and it's nice to say you got to surround Tom Brady with more talent. Who do you surround him with? We talked about Hunter Henry, who I'd be surprised if the Chargers let him get away, but maybe the injury concerns are bigger than I realize, and if they don't franchise him, maybe that should be a red flag. Manny Sanders, I just think it'd be a bad look here. You got to cut Sanu to bring in Sanders when you could have had Sanders for less than you got Sanu for originally. I like Emmanuel Sanders, and I guess ultimately if it helps you keep Brady, or if it's just a productive receiver, you'll take it. I just think that's a bad look. It makes you go back to the trade deadline last year when the Patriots only got Sanu and maybe even championed Sanu over Sanders and reminds you how wrong they were. It's better to write that wrong, I guess, but still, it really, really shines a light on how much of a wrong decision that was. Jeff Howe wrote at The Athletic that the Patriots could not only make a run at Stephon Diggs, who apparently has wiped his entire Instagram clean of any Minnesota Vikings-related material. We talked about this yesterday. He also says not to rule out Amari Cooper on a similar deal to what we were talking about earlier with Hunter Henry. 1 year, make good, come here, play with Tom Brady. I think Howe had him down for $15 million a year and maybe even put in a second year on the deal a la Darrell Revis, but know that it's really just a one-year agreement. You come in here, you get paid for a season, and then go out and really hit on that next contract, playing alongside Tom Brady, playing in a market like New England where, in theory, you should be contending for Super Bowls as opposed to missing the playoffs like he did last year in Dallas. I know you said earlier you think there's value in the free agent over the trade because it's just money over giving up an asset. So Cooper would be your guy in that scenario.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's shown me a lot since leaving Oakland. I didn't know he had – it's like he had another two gears when he got to Dallas.
He was so good as a rookie, and then he kind of – he had drop problems, and he kind of leveled off, and maybe more of it was that Derek Carr couldn't hit him. Like, Derek Carr just couldn't hit him when he was open.
Don't get me started on Derek Carr. My goodness, that guy, please. But, you're right. Maybe that was a factor. I just don't – one thing I'm always a little bit hesitant to, Adam, is when you trade for a guy, you don't know what his – if he wants to come here now, maybe they behind the scenes, they talk to him and he'll tell the team through his agent that he wants to go be a Patriot. A lot of times it's just one of those deals. I like signing free agents more than I like trading for players because you know that they want to sign here, right? They choose to sign here where you trade for a guy. Like, I just thought, like, for example, the Cleveland Browns trading for Odell Beckham. If you were to ask Odell Beckham before you traded for him from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns, hey, you know, would you be interested in coming here and playing for us? My feeling is he'd be like, no, I don't want to play for the Browns. They suck. Why would I want to go play for the Browns? You know, like Baker Mayfield, he's unproven. But they do it with the idea that they're going to come there and have a better attitude, be more vested, which so I'm always a little bit nervous. If he's got an attitude problem, Stephon Diggs does in Minnesota, and we saw him kind of erupt earlier in the season last year, but by, you know, the quarterback play, I would just be worried to trade for him. So I always like going with the free agent alternative. You don't have to give up anything, and you know the guy. You've met him. You've seen him face-to-face. So to me, and Amari Cooper just, he's taken another step when he was in Dallas, I thought.
Well, and one more point here from Howe, too. Why would you take a one-year deal? And maybe this applies to Hunter Henry. Well, you sign 1 year. You don't sign up for 3, 4, 5 years. There's a new CBA next year. You'd imagine the cap goes up. You'd imagine there's more money to go around for these players. So maybe prolonging it by a year would work out. And we talked a lot about the CBA today. Maybe prolonging it by a year actually could put more money in his pocket. Never mind just playing a year alongside Tom Brady in an offense here that would probably suit his abilities in a deep playoff run where you showcase yourself for the whole league. I mean, all of that could be enticing. I'd imagine, you know how players think, I'd imagine a player says, yeah, what I could get tomorrow, or why get tomorrow what I could get today? I'd imagine Cooper just says, I'm a free agent. I don't want to go through a free agent year. I'd imagine there's a lot of pressure of going through a free agent year. I'll just get paid now. So I find a one-year prove-it deal when you don't have to do it, I find that to be a little suspect, but that's the logic behind it from Jeff Howe.
And don't kid yourself, Adam, and you've just kind of said it, you know, like not dismissively, but you just said it so nonchalantly, if Tom Brady's the quarterback.
Right, he needs to be. With both Diggs and Cooper, he needs to be the quarterback.
If you want to look at the list of top free agents, offensive weapons, free agents that are this year, those guys are going to want to know if Tom Brady's the quarterback or not before they sign, the Patriots blow him away with an offer.
So how do you do that? How do you tell Tom that you're going to get players and tell players you're going to get Tom? How do you do that?
You can't. You can say, Tom, we're going to do everything we can to get as many weapons as we can for you. And Tom's probably like, oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tom's probably like,
yeah, how's that worked out in the past?
I was going to say, I've heard that for 20 years.
Right. It is impossible to.
And like, by the way, I know Patriots fans are going to say, well, it's worked out pretty well, hasn't it, Jones? They've won 6 Super Bowls. They've been to 9. It's worked out pretty well, hasn't it? Maybe Tom should listen. If I'm Tom, I look at it and I say, yeah, we won 6 Super Bowls. And a lot of the time, I didn't have enough around me, and I elevated what was around me on offense. Yep. Not to, you know, throw your defenses under the bus. I elevated what was around me, and I was able to make it work with, you know, Philip Dorsett, whatever else. I was able to make it work. Yeah. Good luck making it work with some other quarterback. Right. I can make it work. It's not because you were over the top, went all out outside of 2007 and gave me a bunch of weapons. Yeah. That's what I'd say if I were Brady.
You're right.
I've heard this story before. Yeah. Oh, you're going to go all out for me? Yeah, I've heard that. Next time will be the first time.
He won't fall for the banana in the tailpipe again, Adam. You can tell he is like, that is done. He seems loaded for bear when it comes to his... When it comes to all those tricks and promises and, hey, we'll do this for you, Tom's like, nope, I'm done with all that stuff. And these free agents are going to – these top free agents, all the names that you've been mentioning, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Hunter Henry, they are going to want to know what – if the money's equal, like similar to other teams that are offering these guys contracts to what the Patriots are offering, you know, the deciding factor is going to be whether or not Tom Brady's the quarterback. If he's not – then you're going to lose out potentially on big-name free agents.
Well, Diggs won't have much say because, again, you'd have to trade for Diggs.
Right.
And the motivation for Minnesota trading Diggs, even though they just extended him, he's a good player. He seems to be upset with the team right now, judging by his social media, which admittedly is dangerous. He had an up-and-down year last year, you know, like sort of a love-hate relationship with Kirk Cousins, it seemed like. Some huge games and then some games where he didn't do anything. And also, they saved $5.5 million against the cap by trading him this year. So there's a financial incentive to trading Stephon Diggs. You said earlier you'd give up a first-round pick for Diggs. The Patriots can't give up a second. They already, whoopsie, gave that up for Mohamed Sanu. So why do you think he's worth a first-round pick?
Did I say that? I'm not sure I said that.
I thought you did. Perhaps I misheard.
Yeah, Arkan
and I talked about this yesterday.
Arkan think you have to give a first-round pick?
You gave up a second for Sanu. I think you have to give up a first,
right?
No?
He's a lot younger and he's more productive. You know?
I think this is just me talking. I think you'd have to give up a first, but I guess maybe I put words in your mouth saying you would do it.
You know what? I don't think I said that, but let's just say I did say that.
Say what you want. would you give up the first rounder for him or not? I didn't mean to put words in your mouth there. I thought you said that.
Oh, my answer is no.
You would not.
No, because I'm worried about.
Well, you don't have a second then. So how are you going to get him?
Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Uh, I
look, you're out.
I think you're, you know, unless you give future picks, you know.
That's true. You could always give up a future first.
You can give
up
future first round pick. So that, and I don't know if Minnesota would go for that. I would be hesitant. So I would not give up a first round pick to get Stephon Diggs because of the attitude problems, the question mark at quarterback. If he's not happy with, Kirk Cousins, who is he going to be happy with? Jarrett Stidham? Like, and so right. I just think you're asking for trouble. We see the Diva wide receiver thing kind of already being played out last year with Antonio Brown. So I'm not so sure. I would not give up a first round pick to go get Stephon Diggs. No way.
So a first rounder feels like a lot for him, admittedly. I would do it. I think it's the right thing to do. If Brady's here, you know, if it's Stidham or a first round, well, I guess it wouldn't be a first round quarterback because you're giving it up for him, or another young quarterback, a warm body at quarterback. What
would you give him up if Tom Brady wasn't coming to OTAs and he just showed up for mini camp and training camp? Because you're giving up a first round pick to bring in an excellent wide receiver who's young,
right,
and about
Diggs
to get his peak,
for Diggs to learn the offense from Stidham and then Brady to show up, you know, at the beginning of training camp.
I wouldn't do it for that reason.
Okay,
I'd have to know that Tom is here and fully invested in going to all the OTAs to get the maximized.
So
getting out of Stephon Diggs.
I would like that trade off, but my answer at the end of the day is yes. I would give up a first rounder for Stephon Diggs. I do it begrudgingly, but I do it because who else are they drafting in the first round? It's not like they're hitting on a lot lately. And you know me, I like my man Sony Michel, but it's not like they've been hitting on a lot in the first round lately or the draft period. 617-779-0985. Sarge has all the latest here. We'll continue with your feedback on who you can surround Tom Brady with. And I also want to get to the Patriots schedule next year. A lot of Patriots fans thumping there. It's real hard, real tough schedule. Can't say the Patriots have an easy schedule anymore. Let's get to that after the headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for Scott Zolak and Beetle, as we take you up until 2. Felger and Maz come your way at the top of the hour. Excuse me, not the top of the hour, top of next hour, 2 o'clock. I'll tell you what, Tony's in here workshopping some ideas, Ted.
He is.
Tony's
he is.
Workshopping some good stuff.
His brain never shuts off, man.
He is.
I love it.
He is. He's in here. He's early. He's carrying around. He's always got boxes and boxes of stuff. You never know what he has. He's always got all kinds of stuff. He's here like 2 hours before the show, and he's workshopping stuff. And Tony's coming in spitting fire. I don't know if that's a workshop for today. I don't know if that's a workshop for later. But Tony's working on something.
Yeah, good sneak preview.
Yeah, yeah. I'll
at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll preview it that way. Tune in at 2, and we'll see if he gets to it. Meanwhile, we've been talking a lot about the different weapons that Tom Brady has, or the Patriots rather, could potentially surround him with, and Mohamed Sanu would probably need to go to make this happen, but Hunter Henry, Amari Cooper, they're free agents. Emmanuel Sanders, a free agent. Maybe they could trade for Stephon Diggs. So you can jump in on that. You can also jump in on, the latest on the CBA and the new negotiations there. An extra playoff team in each conference, an extra game on the schedule going to 17 games. We'll circle back to that as well. In the meantime, let's get to your phone calls. How about Dominic in Connecticut? Go ahead, Dominic.
I just have one question. There's some other free agents on the defensive side. What happens if we start losing them, including their linebackers?
What's the what? What's from stopping other people signing them, including their linebackers like Van Noy? Is that what you're asking?
Right, and then what does that do to the team? We're talking about the offensive side. We haven't seemed to talk too much this season so far about the defensive side if those free agents go.
How concerned are you about losing players on defense, Ted, whether Brady's back or not?
I'm not that concerned. I am really not that concerned. I mean, Kyle Van Noy, look, is he a great player for this defense and this scheme? Yeah, he is. I mean, he was, you know, questionably, arguably, maybe, you know, the defensive MVP of this team this year. But, you know, I just feel like you're not going to be losing that much, considering what I think he's going to be asking for as far as a contract. I just don't think you should overpay for Kyle Van Noy, and I think somebody's going to overpay for him. And I think it's a position as valuable as he is, and it does a lot of the little things that you want at that linebacker position.
What about McCourty? That was one that Pro Football Focus had them losing.
Devin, 5 interceptions this year?
Yeah.
But I just don't think he's worth – I mean, he's making $10 million. I'll be honest. There's a lot of times, other than those 5 interceptions, I did not see him doing a whole lot.
No, you don't even see him in the screen. Like on your TV screen, right. You don't even see him. He's so far off the screen, you don't even see him. That doesn't mean he's not doing anything. Right. But like I don't see it. I'm not like you. I'm not watching the All 22.
Right.
I don't have knowledge of what I'm looking at. I literally don't see him on my screen most of the time.
Right. And so, you know, and I think just for, you know, at his age, going into his, I believe, 11th season, to be paying him top dollar does not make sense to me.
So you're not concerned with some of the pieces they could lose on defense?
No, I'm really not.
They should have a good defense next year either way, right?
They should.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah,
they should have a good defense either way. So okay, fine. You lose Van Noy, you lose McCourty, maybe both. Does that hurt you a little bit? Sure. Maybe you lose Collins on top of it. Does that hurt you a little bit? Sure. They should still have a good defense next year. They should be able to win games on defense. You know, certainly if Brady's here, and depending on who the replacement would be, you should be able to win some games on defense. You should be able to.
I absolutely, you should. And a lot of it, I feel like it's not necessarily about the individual. More so now than ever, Bill's just zoned in on, you know, situational football. These guys, look, you know, they do a great job, third down, red zone. There's not a better defense as far as doing that. But it's more about the collective group and the coaching that they get. I do worry about when you lose experienced guys and backfilling them with young, experienced guys. There could be a little bit of concern. I'm just not worried about the talent drop-off. I think there's talented guys that can fill in for those guys, but the experience is going to be lacking. And a lot of times, that's what makes that defense so good, is that they've been together for so long playing together. And so they know what each other's doing, and they know the defense inside and out.
So here's what can work against them. Next year, their schedule is going to be tougher, supposedly. Like, for once, they're supposedly going to get a tough schedule,
but,
Ted.
But I think this is kind of legit. And not
for,
not
for once, they're going to get a real, actual NFL schedule.
Right, for once. Right.
Here you go. Based on opponent's win percentage, and this has been calculated out, based on opponent's win percentage, the Patriots actually have the toughest schedule in the NFL next year. 537 win percentage based on their winning percentage for this year, right? Their opponent's winning percentage for this year. Let's see. The Patriots and the Jets have the two toughest based on how the scheduling sets up, and a lot of it's predetermined. The easiest schedule will be the Baltimore Ravens, who already had the best record in the NFL a season ago, right, with 14 wins. I have a prediction, Ted. I have a prediction. By the time we actually get into the NFL season, it's not going to seem like all that difficult of a schedule. That's my prediction, because if you're basing it on last year's opponent's win percentage, and I don't know what else you'd base it on now, I'm not doubting the number, but if you base it on last year, then you're already a year behind. Like, in the NFL, what's up is down, what's down is up. So, you know, next year, these teams that we think are going to be so good on their schedule, well, they're going to have down seasons, and the teams that look bad on paper are going to be better. Maybe one of them will have Tom Brady instead of the Patriots. And I guarantee you, by next year, middle of next year, whatever, that schedule that seems daunting on paper won't be that daunting.
That's a fair point. But
it always works out that way for
you. But you are missing one aspect of the schedule.
The Brady piece.
No. If you look at all these teams and go, okay, yeah, I mean, like right now on paper, this looks like a tough schedule. But what you're missing is, if you look at last year, where did they have to go the furthest to play an opponent last year?
Oh, I don't even know. What was the Texans?
As far west as they went.
Next year, what are they? They have two on the West Coast, right?
At least two, if not three. I feel like they got to go to Seattle. They got to go to the Chargers.
Oh, and the Rams. You're right.
And the Rams.
It's on the screen right now. Yep.
So 3 trips to the West Coast. That, believe it or not,
right, that they're going to have to go play Tom Brady with the Chargers.
Right, right. It matters. There's more to that than people realize. The external factors that factor in these games, not just about the players and the stats. It's these external factors.
Good thing they're adding a playoff team next year, so the Patriots can sneak in.
Right. So that's 3 West Coast trips is a tough schedule.
I have a feeling that's not going to look so tough. That's all. Yeah. We'll see. I have a feeling that schedule is not going to look so tough next year. Yeah. That's my prediction.
It looks the hardest on paper.
Yep. I don't think it's going to be so tough.
They've done that before. Stay out west, though.
Yep.
If they have,
if the NFL does them a favor and does them back to back, sure,
that's true.
They could do that.
That's
and
true.
2 years ago, the Mexico City game, they went to the Air Force Academy, but Denver.
No, I know. The league always hates them so much, though, right? But the league does them favors and schedules those games back to back. But the league hates them. The league hates them.
It's just real quick about the division is always please. I know fans don't want to hear this, but and I don't know if you've probably been hammering the division, like the teams in the division.
It stinks. Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah,
the division has sucked.
Well, until Tom Brady goes to the Dolphins.
Okay, I mean, let's face it. They have sucked, fans. You don't want to hear it, but, I mean, are you kidding me? Over this last 20 years, the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets have been pathetic, okay? I don't know. This year, maybe. Brian Flores started to figure it out. I don't know.
Tom Brady to the Dolphins.
I doubt that. But, those Jets, look, they're still Sam Bradford. They have quarterbacks, at least the Jets and the Buffalo Bills, that they think are franchise quarterbacks. That remains to be seen. But you kind of see maybe that the teams in the AFC East might actually, for the first time in a long time,
have a clue,
have something figured out.
Okay. Well that's I hope. I just have a feeling this big, tough schedule, this boogeyman of a schedule in February, ain't going to look so tough. That's my prediction. 617-779-0985. Let's get to a former Red Sox. A World Series winning Red Sox in 2018, when they were cheating like crazy, weighing in on exactly what they were doing in 2018. We'll do that next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Carlos, Cody Bellinger said some strong things yesterday. He said the Astros stole the 2017 World Series from the Dodgers. He said Altuve stole the MVP from Judge. He said you guys cheated for 3 years. What is your reaction?
Well, usually I don't have problems when people talk about 2017 and about what happened that year, because honestly, we're wrong. Everything that happened that year was absolutely wrong, and we obviously show remorse for that because, we feel bad about everything that happened. We really feel bad about everything that happened in 2017. But the problem I have is when players go out there and they don't know the facts, they're not informed on the situation, and they just go out there in front of cameras and just talk, and with me, that doesn't seem right. It doesn't sit right at all. So when he talks about that we cheated for 3 years, I mean, he either doesn't know how to read, is really bad at reading comprehension, or he's just not informed at all. But the commission's report clearly says that all those activities were conducted in 2017. 2018, nothing happened. 2019, nothing happened. It was just talented players playing the game of baseball with passion and winning ball games.
What year did they win the World Series again, Ted? I know you're a big Houston Astros fan. By the way, that's Carlos Correa weighing in on Cody Bellinger. What year did they win the World Series again?
It was just 1 year, Adam, and it was 2017.
They talk like they've won like 5 in a row. They've only won 1 World Series, so I don't even get why he cares about 18 and 19. I don't even get why you care about that. Oh, well, Cody Bellinger said we cheated 3 years in a row. It doesn't matter. You did. First of all, you just did. But second of all, even if you're copping to cheating the 1 year, well, that's the important year. That's the year you happen to win the most pristine, sacred, revered trophy in all of sports, the commissioner's trophy award. What do they even call that stupid thing?
I have no idea.
That hunk of junk that you win in
that
baseball.
Ten, piece of 10.
Yes. So coming up on 1 o'clock here, Zolak and Bertrand, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for the guys. I know you have you have some thoughts on baseball players in general that we can get to, and the Houston Astros specifically. But Ian Kinsler, a former Red Sox on the 2018 team, awesome. So good in Game 3, that 18-inning game. What a performance by Ian Kinsler. He did a hit in Dallas where he was asked, a couple of things about not only his time as a baseball player, but his time specifically in Boston. And the first is about what he saw while he was a member of the Boston Red Sox.
Clearly, anyone with baseball reference knows he spent 6 weeks with the Red Sox. Very memorable time as well. Their investigation still ongoing. Are we going to find anything close to the Astros, or what do you think? What do you think we're going to find in Boston?
I don't know what they're going to find, but in my opinion, it's not anywhere close to what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
can I just stop for a second?
We're just.
It's not an opinion. What happened? It's not an opinion. You don't know what they're going to find? Okay, well then stop talking. What, you don't know what they're going to find? What did you do? In your opinion? I don't need your opinion. What happened? It's not an opinion. It's just what happened, right? So anyway, sorry, Ian Kinsler, but that bothered me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Red Sox were just a very tight-knit group. We did when I was injected into that team in the middle of the season.
Tough word.
It was a lot like the Rangers clubs that I was on, where it was just a very tight-knit group, and their system was flawless. They just had a very good system at relaying from second base to home plate. And that was it.
Okay. Only second base to home plate.
Yeah. That was it.
Which baseball players are good with. If you can figure it out from second base, you're good with that. Okay. That's nice. They're a tight-knit team. There's a bunch of good guys.
Right.
Bunch of good guys, tight-knit. Right. I don't know what that has to do with anything, that you're tight-knit guys. That has nothing to do with anything. And again, I don't know what they're going to find, but in my opinion, it wasn't as bad as what went on in Houston. Okay, really shouldn't be an opinion. Really should be pretty black and white. Ian Kinsler went on to say, though, the video component that some teams use, or at least that he used during his time, how could you get an advantage, Ian Kinsler?
The video room that we talked about in the past, like you said, that's every single clubhouse, locker room, whatever, that's going on right behind the dugout, right? In every single team?
Most teams. Some teams aren't set up as well as others.
Because if it's there and you take it, I mean, you have to take advantage of that. Like, if that's legal.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's a video and you're going to check out your at bat, and while you're checking out your at bat, there's a runner on second base also, and you look through your at bat to see your personal flaws and what you're trying to fix for the next time. Well, I'm going to go back again. And I'm going to check out the signs and see if I can crack them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
If I can, I can. If I can, I can't.
Could baseball eliminate that altogether?
They need to.
They do.
Is what needs to happen.
All right.
They need to just eliminate technology from...
You can't have video equipment in a clubhouse or a dugout and expect
just go play the game. Play the game.
Yeah.
After the game, you can go look at your bats, try to figure out what's wrong. That's what a hitting coach is for. Let him do his job.
Okay, so that's in-game. He's talking about, you know, going back and watching your swing. J.D. Martinez is like adamant, I need this. I need to break down my swing in-game. Not in between games, but it'd be like you in between watching video. Like, while the offense is out on the field, you just pop on some video and you go back and watch it. Right? What do they have now in the NFL? Just tablets of, like, still shots, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, when I was playing, it was the old black and white pictures, right? And
I think now there's still shots, I believe. They're just on a tablet.
Is that all? Okay, so it's not video. It's just still
I didn't
pictures.
Think. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Yeah. I didn't think. But anyway, I love that for me and Kinsler. He's like, well, you know, you go back and you check out your at-bat.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're also checking out the signals that the catcher put down, and then you go to somebody else and you try to piece it all together. Like, they were already trying to do this. And obviously that's not live and instantaneous and banging on a trash can, but...
Like the Astros were doing.
Right. And I don't think the Red Sox were banging on a trash can. I think short of that, they were doing everything the Astros were doing.
Yeah,
that is what I think.
I haven't heard anything about the Red Sox banging on trash cans or maybe potentially having buzzers in their jerseys.
No.
But it is... It's hard to shake the fact that the two World Series in 17 and 18, there is one common denominator, and that is Alex Cora. Alex Cora was the bench coach for the Astros in 2017, and then he was obviously the manager of the Red Sox in 2018.
And I have a hard time believing Alex Cora goes from being the assistant and winning to then having a higher profile job with more pressure knowing how they won in Houston and then saying, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
With more pressure on me,
right.
I'm not going to do that. While the team went out and, by the way, set a record for wins. 108, 119 total in the season when you count the postseason.
It's funny. They're just not on the same page here, Adam, with this whole thing. The player, I think half of them are like, hey, it's baseball. We've been doing it forever. And a lot of teams do the video. And then there's guys that are like, cut it all out. You know, it's just they can't seem to get on the same page with this thing. And it's a total mess.
All of it is just, it's a gray area too, right? It's like, well, what's allowed and what's not? Ian Kinsler's like, well, yeah, we had a good system relaying from second base of what we saw. And if I saw it on video, of course I'd try to steal it. But live and using video, we're not going to do that. So all of that becomes, you can see where the Astros, who obviously are wrong, I'm not defending them, but you can see where they just said, well, you know, if everybody's looking the other way on stuff, we'll just really push the envelope.
But therein lies the rub, Adam. It's always been with baseball, these unwritten rules. Cheat, but don't make it obvious. You can kind of fudge, but don't throw it in our face.
Right.
Like,
yeah, if you see the catcher's signs on your video, well, then of course use that, but don't use live video.
Right.
It's so use technology, but don't use too much technology.
They're asking for trouble.
So trust me, I am not defending the Astros. I'm not defending the Astros, but you know, you can kind of understand where it's hard to tell what's allowed and what's not allowed. I mean, I guess players seem to know it. They claim they know it. Unwritten rules. It's hard to know what's allowed and what's not allowed.
Does it feel like what the Astros did was crossing the line?
In of course.
From where I sit, absolutely.
Of course.
Some people would say it was like, look, there's been cheating in baseball forever, so it's not that big of a deal. Did they cross the line? They absolutely did. But, you know, but they're like, well, I don't know where the line is, where you take it up to that line.
Again.
It's so clearly not defined.
Yeah. Also, when Ian Kinsler's so freely admitting to all this stuff he was doing, you know there was more. Like, he's just freely admitting to too much there. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to steal signs off video. I mean, not live, not in a game. And, yeah, we were just really good at relaying signals from second base. Like, if he's that free and willing to do that, just right off the cuff, what isn't he admitting to? 617-779-0985. Sarge with the latest. Let's get back to where we started. The new CBA, 17 games proposed in the NFL, extra playoff teams in both the AFC and NFC. Do you like that as a fan? Ted, do you like that as an ex-player? We'll get to that after the update.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.